And our second reading is from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. Joseph reassures his brothers. After the death of their father, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still hates us and plans to pay us back for all the harm we did to him?" So they sent a message to Joseph. "Before our father died, he told us to ask you, please forgive the crime your brothers committed when they wronged you. Now please forgive us the wrong that we, the servants of your father's God, have done." Joseph cried when he received this message. Then his brothers themselves came and bowed down before him. "Here we are before you as your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. I can't put myself in the place of God. You plotted evil against me, but God turned it into good, in order to preserve the lives of many people who are alive today because of what happened. You have nothing to fear. I will take care of you and your children." So he reassured them with kind words that touched their hearts.
So forgiveness and forgiving are what we're thinking about this morning. And that's important because, of course, it's right at the very heart of the Christian gospel. Although sin isn't a very popular word these days, unfortunately, I think we all know it's still a fact of life. Sin's a failure of love. Jesus said that the two greatest commandments are about loving God and loving our neighbours and ourselves. But we can only live in love, the love that God offers us, if we also live in God's forgiveness for us, and if we're ready to keep good relationships with others by offering and accepting forgiveness. Now, our two readings this morning offer a very dramatic contrast between a way of vengeance that multiplies more violence and more problems and leads to death, and a way of forgiveness that creates compassion and leads to life. Joseph's reconciliation with his brothers comes at the end of a long, painful process in which they learnt and acknowledged that their father had really suffered in the loss of his son. But in Jesus' story of the unmerciful slave, although the king takes the way of life, releasing the servant and his family from the consequences of his corruption and greed, there's no process of transformation there in the end. The servant just continues the way of violence and vengeance when he doesn't, in turn, respond to his fellow servant's need and forgive his fellow servant. All through the Bible, we read lots about God's forgiveness. Forgiveness for his sinful people, people like us, ordinary people, and about the need for some people to forgive each other in order to be able to live and work together happily in community. So this morning we're going to think about God's forgiveness in relation to ourselves, and then about forgiveness in relation between us and other people. And of course, we find those two aspects of forgiveness very much linked together. I'm sure when we read the Bible or come together to worship God, or times when we just stop and think about our own lives, we do have to realize that very often we are sinful people. We know we all make mistakes in life. We frequently do the wrong things. Sometimes we do the wrong thing quite by accident, and unfortunately, sometimes we do the wrong thing deliberately. And of course, the other aspect of it is that we leave undone good things that we should be doing. Sadly, we're people who are easily tempted to go wrong, and we often do. Then combined with that, excuse me, we read clearly in the Bible that God's concerned about the way in which we live, what we think, what we do, and what we say. And this in turn can sometimes make us very concerned and worried about ourselves when we believe that God can and does and will judge us by the way that we live and the things that we do and say. When we look honestly at our own lives and try to see ourselves as God sees us, unfortunately, it's often not a very pretty picture. And we can start to feel that being the way we are, we really don't have a lot of hope of living our lives now or after death through eternity with God. And sometimes, of course, we can make life even harder for ourselves by going back and dwelling on those sins and those bad memories and the things that we've done wrong. Some people are much better at putting those things behind them and moving forward. And some of us are quite bad about always going back to the things that have happened. Well, this, of course, is where Christianity is really, really good news. The good news is that God is willing and able to forgive the things that we've done wrong in the past, however bad they may be, or however relatively insignificant they may be. The good news is that God has already decided to do this, and that all the necessary arrangements have been made a long time ago. Jesus has already died on the cross so that we can be forgiven for our sins. We don't have to keep on begging God to do something about our sin because he's already done it on his part. So God has already done his part to make it possible for us to be forgiven when we go wrong. If we want to know and experience God's forgiveness, though, what do we have to do? First, I think we need to realise that something has actually gone wrong. Something that we've said or thought even has not been right, or something has just not been good enough. Unless we know that a thing's wrong, we're not likely to want to put it right. So we do need to listen to our consciences, and we do need to realise when we're at fault and bring that situation to God and say sorry. In other words, we need to confess and repent. Then we actually need to ask God for forgiveness. In the letter of James, we read that one reason why we don't have God's forgiveness, or we don't have the things that we want, is simply because we don't ask God for them. In James chapter 5, it tells us that. God's done everything to make forgiveness possible for us, but we need to realize our need for forgiveness, come to God in prayer, ask for forgiveness, and be prepared, if necessary, to ask others that we've hurt to forgive us too. And then thirdly, we have to actually accept God's forgiveness and believe that we're forgiven. Sometimes I think we stop at that point, and for some reason we don't seem to be able to realise that God has and does actually forgive us. But it's the same with any other kind of gift that we might be given. The gift isn't ours until we actually accept it. Chris, can you come here for a minute? Chris, I'd like to give you a gift. I'd like to give you £5 here.
No, thanks anyway.
But I'm trying to give it to you.
Well, it's very kind of you, but no thank you.
Well, I'm trying to give the gift. Has he got it? No, he hasn't. Well, come on, try again. Let me give it to you.
Thank you.
Has he got it this time? Yes, because he's actually finally accepted it. But he has to do something. And you can take that right away and put it in the offering later in the service. Thanks, Chris. If we ask God to forgive us and then go away and still worry about the fact that the past is there and we've done something wrong and we just haven't accepted and believed God's forgiveness. And we know we worship a God who doesn't force anything on us. We have to accept what he wants to give, and we have to make that gift our own. And there are plenty of Bible's promises that help us to do that. So in 1 John, for example, chapter 1 and verse 9, we read, "If we confess to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive our sins and purify us from all wrongdoings." So God takes action to forgive sin. And the Christian faith is that God acted through Jesus Christ. When Paul was explaining this to the church in Corinth, he writes that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, in his letter to the Corinthians. And this is the very good news at the heart of the gospel. But of course, there is another aspect of forgiveness, and we've heard about that in our Bible reading this morning, in our first one. We've also thought about it, I hope, each time we've joined together in the Lord's Prayer, as we've done this morning too. And we've asked God to forgive us our trespasses or our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's what we've already asked this morning. The disciples had asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, and that's part of the prayer that he taught them. So there's more to it than just accepting God's forgiveness. God has promised to forgive us no matter what we've done. But when we start to look at how all this affects other people and our relationships with them, it seems we find an important condition to God's forgiveness, which we also have to think about carefully. The point is that God promises forgiveness. But we know that this promise isn't just for us individually. It's for everyone. He promises forgiveness for me, but he promises forgiveness for you, and you, and you. He promises it for everyone. If another person has done something wrong, God is willing to forgive that person, even if their wrong is something that's really hurt or upset us. If God is willing to forgive them, surely we have to be willing to forgive them too. If we don't forgive others, then we may find ourselves in the same position as the unmerciful servant in the parable that we've heard this morning. And we can see from the story that the man who'd been forgiven and then wasn't willing to forgive was clearly wrong. He was unfair, he was unselfish. That's not the way God wants us to behave. The end result was that then he was punished for his bad behaviour and for his unwillingness to forgive. If we ask God to forgive us as we forgive others each time we pray the Lord's Prayer, then I think we must be careful to be sure that we are willing to forgive others. At the end of Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, Jesus is recorded as putting it pretty bluntly when he concludes by saying, "If you forgive others the wrongs that you have done, that they have done to you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive the wrongs you have done." We need to be careful not to behave in such a way as to make it difficult for God to actually forgive us. And forgiving others isn't easy, is it? It's about accepting the hurt that somebody has done to us, bearing the pain, and still loving the person who's hurt us. And that's something we can only do through Christ. Now, one of the best examples of how this can work is part of the experience of Corrie Ten Boom, who wrote a book called The Hiding Place about herself and others in her family from Holland who were arrested during World War II and put in a German concentration camp. She survived, but others in her family didn't. And in her book, she tells how her former jailer in the concentration camp came up to her after a church service which she'd spoken at after the war. He'd stood guard over her and her sister Betsy when they were processed in the shower room at Ravensbrück concentration camp. Now he came up to her and he smiled and he bowed, and she recognised him, but he didn't recognise her. And he said, "Oh, how grateful I am, Fräulein, for your message, to think that, as you say, God has washed my sins away." And he held out his hand to her, but she just couldn't take it. And this is what she wrote about the incident. She said, "I, who had preached so often to the people in Bloemendaal the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask more of him? Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me and help me to forgive him. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand, but I couldn't. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again I breathed a silent prayer. Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." And as I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not our forgiveness, any more than on our goodness, that the world's healing hinges, but on God's. When God tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command, the love itself. I think that God takes the matter of praying for forgiveness very seriously. It's when we ourselves have been forgiven and accepted the forgiveness that we, in Christ's strength, can forgive. Forgiveness leads us to release from anger. It offers healing of spirit. It allows us to put down the burdens of hurt and pain. And this is why it's so important for us in family life, church life, and community life together. So our challenge this morning, let's put things right in our own lives and relationships now, today, if that's what we know that we need to do.